Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 47 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify and Podcast.de, with social media presences on Blue Sky and Instagram.
The topic of this episode.
In this episode, I talk about the Kaiser-class battleships. These were the first German battleships to use turbines for propulsion, and they were therefore a significant technological advance.
Political agenda and background.
None.
The sources that were used.
I will use the same sources as in the other battleship episodes. The sources in short, Admiral Scheer, Deutschlands Hochseeflotte im Weltkrieg, Germany's High Seas Fleet during the World War, published by Verlag August Scherl, Berlin, probably 1919, date of the foreword. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Panzerschiffe um 1900, translation Ironclads around 1900, published by Brandenburgisches Verlagshaus, Berlin, 1998. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven 1962, Third Improved Edition 1964. And Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag Augsburg 1998, and as usual Wikipedia. The Kaiser-class battleships were intended to replace five obsolete coastal defense ships and were ordered in 1909. Construction began more or less immediately after the Nassau-class battleships were completed, and while construction of the Helgoland-class battleships was still underway. As usual, let's first look at the competition. The Kaiser-class was built between late 1909 and mid-1913. The British Orion-class, the American Wyoming-class, the Japanese Kawachi-class, the French Courbet class, the Italian Conte di Cavour class, and finally the Russian Gangut class, which I've already compared with the Helgoland ships, belong to the same period. However, considering so many ship classes individually would be a confusing battle of numbers. On the other hand, I don't want to exclude any class, so I'll try this a little differently and more compact than usual. The British Orion class and the Japanese Kawachi class were built between 1909 and 12, the American Wyoming class between 1910 and 12, the French Courbet ships between 1910 and 14, and the Italian Conte di Cavour ships between 1910 and 15. All of these ships displaced more than 20,000 tons. The Kawachis were the lightest, displacing approximately 21,800 tons, while the Wyomings were the heaviest, displacing approximately 27,700 tons. The ships ranged in length from 160 to 180 meters, with a beam between 25.5 and 28 meters, and a draft between 8.2 and 9.3 meters. All were now powered by turbines and had power outputs between 25,000 and 33,000 horsepower. The speed was almost identical for all ship classes, around 21 knots. The Americans, Japanese, French, and Italians continued to use 305 mm guns. The Italians had 13 guns at their disposal, thanks to a unique arrangement of three triple and two double-barreled turrets, while all other ship classes had 12 guns. However, there were differences in the arrangement. The Conte di Cavours and Wyomings had their guns arranged along the ship's center line, allowing all guns to fire at one target in a broadside. The Kawachis had a hexagonal arrangement, while the Courbets had a quadrangle with numerous wing turrets, which weakened their broadside. The British used 343 mm guns for the first time on the Orions. 10 guns were mounted in 5 turrets along the center line, allowing for a very heavy broadside. The secondary armament was nothing special. The Orions mounted 16 102mm guns, while the Wyomings already had 21 127mm guns. The Courbets mounted 22 138mm guns, while the Conte di Cavours had 12 120mm guns. The French and Italians also had several smaller guns on board. The Japanese, on the other hand, had a very old-fashioned secondary battery arrangement, using three different calibers, 152mm, 120mm and 76mm. What had the Germans done with the Kaiser ships in the face of this competition? Compared to the Helgoland class, the ships were even larger. Their length was 172.4 meters, their beam was 29 meters, and their draft was 9.1 meters. They displaced around 27,000 tons, making them among the larger ships internationally. The crew consisted of 41 officers and 1,043 sailors, with an additional 80 men on flagships. The Kaiser ships were considered to have excellent handling, but they lost up to two-thirds of their speed during sharp turns and could also lean sideways by up to 8 degrees. As already mentioned, these ships were the first to use turbines. This change resulted in significant space savings, as the older conventional engines were very space intensive. It also significantly increased the ship's range. The Kaiser-class ships achieved an output of approximately 27,600 horsepower and reached a theoretical speed of 21 knots. However, their actual power was somewhat higher, which allowed them to actually reach between 22 and 23 knots. The fastest ship was the SMS Kaiser at 23.4 knots. In terms of displacement and speed, the Kaiser ships were among the international leaders. The SMS Prinzregent Luitpold had a slightly different configuration. It was to be equipped with two turbines and a diesel engine. However, the diesel engine was not operational when the ship was completed, so it operated with only two turbines. To compensate, the ship received larger propellers, but still only reached a top speed of about 20 to 21 knots. The ship's range was 14,600 kilometers or 9,100 miles. The main armament consisted of 10 30.5 centimeter guns in 5 turrets. The turret arrangement had changed slightly compared to the Nassau and Helgoland ships. One turret was located at the bow, one at the starboard side forward, one on the port side aft, and two at the stern, one of which could fire over the other. The Kaiser class thus represented an intermediate step between the dreadnought battleships with distributed gun turrets and the modern battleships with centerline turrets. Compared to the Nassau and Helgoland classes, the Kaiser ships thus had two fewer guns. However, the Nassau and Helgoland ships could only engage a target with a maximum of 8 guns simultaneously. The Kaiser class, on the other hand, could fire all 10 guns at one target. The secondary battery consisted of 14 15cm guns. 8 8.8cm guns were available for close combat. Four of these guns were replaced by four 8.8cm anti-aircraft guns during the war. Finally, the ships were equipped with five 50cm torpedo tubes. The armor was, as usual, made of Krupp steel. However, compared to the Helgoland class, it had been reinforced again. Five ships were built, the SMS Kaiser at the Imperial Shipyard in Kiel, the SMS Friedrich der Große at AG Walken in Hamburg, the SMS Kaiserin at the Howald Works in Kiel, the SMS Prinzregent Luitpold at the Germania Shipyard in Kiel, and the SMS König Albert at the Schichau Works in Danzig. Construction began between autumn 1909 and summer 1910. The ships were launched between spring 1911 and spring 1912 and commissioned between summer 1912 and summer 1913. The launch of the SMS Kaiser took place on the birthday of the late Kaiser Wilhelm I, under the watchful eye of the then reigning Kaiser Wilhelm II. Chancellor Theobald von Bethmann-Hollweg delivered a speech, while Empress Auguste performed the ship's christening. The Kaiser ships were used primarily for maneuvers and overseas voyages in the pre-war years. In 1913 and 14, the SMS Kaiser and the SMS König Albert, along with the cruiser SMS Strasbourg, undertook long-distance voyages to South America and South Africa. These voyages were intended to demonstrate the strength of the German Navy and test the new turbine propulsion system on long-distance voyages. These voyages included visits in Togo, Cameroon, German Southwest Africa, Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, Buenos Aires in Argentina, Montevideo in Uruguay, and Valparaiso in Chile. The ships were underway from December 1913 to June 1914 and covered approximately 20,000 nautical miles. At the beginning of the war, the Kaiser-class battleships served in the 3rd Squadron in the North Sea. The German Navy's strategy at the start of the war was to use provocative maneuvers to challenge part of the British fleet, thereby shifting the balance of power in the North Sea in Germany's long-term favor. This included, among other things, shore bombardments in England. The battleships sailed at a considerable distance behind the attacking cruisers and battlecruisers. This strategy, however, failed because the British fleet did not deploy to battle piecemeal. Despite several deployments in 1914 and 15, the Kaiser ships never encountered the enemy. The first enemy contact occurred during the Battle of Jutland in the early summer of 1916, the largest naval battle of the First World War. However, the SMS König Albert was in the shipyard at the time and therefore could not participate in the battle. The 3rd Squadron led the German fleet, with the Kaiser ships following the even more powerful König-class ships. The SMS Prinzregent Luitpold was the first of the ships to open fire on the British battleships. Meanwhile, the SMS Kaiser and the SMS Friedrich der Große opened fire on British light cruisers, but were unable to score any hits. Heavy smoke quickly led to the abandonment of this engagement. Shortly after 6 p.m., the Kaiser opened fire on HMS Malaya and also fired its secondary guns at the destroyer HMS Nomad. The Nomad was ultimately sunk under the combined fire of several German ships. Around 7 p.m., the damaged cruiser SMS Wiesbaden, drifting in the water, came under fire from the British armored cruisers HMS Defense and HMS Warrior. The battlecruisers under Admiral Hipper and the 3rd Squadron came to the cruiser's aid. HMS Defense was destroyed and HMS Warrior was severely damaged. However, the SMS Wiesbaden could not be saved and sank. On board was the author Johann Kienau, who had become known under the nickname Gorch Fock. Immediately after this engagement, the SMS Kaiser struck the rudder of the British battleship HMS Warspite. The British battleship was temporarily disabled and could only navigate in a large circle. Several German battleships, including the SMS Friedrich der Große, shelled the Warspite for about 20 minutes, hitting it about a dozen times before the steadily deteriorating visibility made it impossible to engage it further. Due to the damage, the Warspite was forced to withdraw. The Germans, however, believed they had sunk it. Around 9:30 p.m., several German battleships engaged attacking British light units that were attempting to launch torpedoes against the German fleet. The Kaiser ships participated in shelling the light cruiser HMS Calliope, which was severely damaged and forced to withdraw. As the night battle continued, the German fleet managed to escape the grip of the British light units and escape into its own waters. The SMS Friedrich der Große participated in the sinking of the armored cruiser HMS Black Prince at around 1 a.m. The SMS Kaiser was the most active of the Kaiser-class battleships during the naval battle. She fired her main guns 224 times and her secondary guns 41 times. During the battle, the SMS Kaiser was hit twice by the large caliber guns of HMS Agincourt, but suffered only minor damage and a single casualty. All other Kaiser ships remained undamaged. During further naval operations in 1916, the Kaiser ships did not encounter the British fleet again. The SMS Prinzregent Luitpold was the scene of unrest in the Navy in the summer of 1917. This unrest manifested itself in insubordination and political agitation. There were several causes for this unrest. First, after the Battle of Jutland, battleships played a secondary role and spent most of their time in port, while other naval units such as submarines, torpedo boats, and minesweepers were very active. Although the Battle of Jutland had not gone badly for the German fleet, the German leadership no longer believed that the war at sea could be won with a battleship fleet. They now placed all their trust in the submarine as a weapon. Unrestricted submarine warfare was discussed in the fall and winter of 1916 and finally began in early 1917. This led to many experienced officers being withdrawn from the battleships and transferred to the submarines. Young, inexperienced officers came aboard instead, where they faced veteran NCOs and crew. Many of them were highly qualified specialists who had mastered the ship's complex technology and were extremely knowledgeable. The officers tried to compensate for their own insecurity with overly arrogant behavior and harassment, which led to resentment among the experienced sailors. The constant duty in port frustrated the crews, who felt more or less useless. Poor food, sometimes contaminated with worms, and measures perceived by the crew as senseless harassment, such as drills on parade grounds in the harbors, rounded out the catastrophic morale situation on the ships. Some of the sailors attempted to establish contacts with the radical left-wing party USPD. Based on these contacts, the Navy later suspected that the unrest had been orchestrated by the USPD, but this was not the case. Rather, these were spontaneous actions by sailors who were politically close to the USPD, but had no deep connections within the party. The sailors' actions began in March 1917 with the establishment of confidants. Strikes, grievances, and the formation of soldiers' councils started in June. Hunger strikes, protest marches, and heated arguments between sailors and officers followed. The poor rations ultimately caused the SMS Prinzregent Luitpold to block the Kaiser Wilhelm Canal while using it. The stokers only resumed work after their demands regarding rations had been met. The unrest escalated on August 1, 1917. Aboard the SMS Prinzregent Luitpold, docked in Wilhelmshaven, a rumor circulated that a film screening had been cancelled in favor of practicing on the parade ground. 49 stokers subsequently left the ship without permission and 11 of them were arrested. In protest against the arrests, 600 crew members left the ship without permission the next day, made speeches, and demanded the release of their comrades. Afterward, the sailors marched back to the ship. Sailors from the SMS Friedrich der Große participated in these unrests to a lesser extent. The Navy reacted harshly. During the investigation, attempts were made to prove a connection between the sailors and the USPD, but these attempts were unsuccessful. 12 defendants who had played a leading role in the march were convicted on August 23, 1917, of military rebellion and mutiny. One of them was sentenced to death, the other 12 received long prison sentences, but Fleet Admiral Scheer commuted all of these sentences to short prison terms. On August 25th and 26, 1917, 5 men considered the ringleaders of the entire unrests were sentenced to death. Admiral Scheer upheld 2 of the death sentences and commuted 3 others to prison terms. The death sentences were carried out on September 5th, 1917. With their harsh crackdown, the Navy leadership had once again managed to restore order. However, the reasons for the unrest had not been eliminated, which is why the renewed unrest and the subsequent mutiny in the fleet in the autumn of 1918 should not have been surprising. In 1917, the Kaiser battleships were deployed in the Baltic Sea as part of Operation Albion. The German army had made significant progress on land and advanced deep into the Baltic. However, the Russian army had established a stronghold on the islands of Riga. As part of a combined army and navy offensive, the islands of Ösel, Dagö, and Moon were to be occupied in September and October 1917. The Russians had installed artillery batteries on Ösel, which had to be eliminated. This time, all 5 Kaiser battleships were involved. The spearhead of 3rd Squadron, however, consisted of 4 König-class battleships and the new battleship SMS Bayern. The Russians, in contrast, could only muster 2 older battleships, the Slava and the Tsarevich. On October 12, the Kaiser ships shelled Russian batteries on the Swabe Peninsula. The Russians, however, put up a tenacious fight, slowing the operation. On October 14th, the SMS Kaiser was ordered back to provide covering fire for German torpedo boats and minesweepers that were threatened by Russian destroyers. The Russian destroyer Grom was sunk in the process. Meanwhile, the other Kaiser ships shelled Russian 30.5cm coastal batteries near Zerel. The Russian fire was very precise, which forced the German battleships to constantly move. The batteries were ultimately defeated. Operation Albion was successfully completed by the end of October. On November 17, 1917, the battleships SMS Kaiser and SMS Kaiserin protected several light units and minesweepers in the German Bight. The minesweepers were harassed by the British light cruisers HMS Calypso and HMS Caledon, as well as the battlecruiser HMS Repulse. The battleship's intervention forced the British units to withdraw, but neither side was able to score critical hits on the opposing ships. All Kaiser ships were supposed to participate in the naval action at the end of October 1918. Admiral Scheer planned to improve Germany's position in the peace negotiations with a naval victory. However, the German sailors viewed the operation as a suicide mission and refused to obey their superiors' orders en masse. The operation had to be cancelled. These insubordinations subsequently contributed to the sailors' revolt and the November Revolution. After the end of the war, the Kaiser ships, along with most of the modern ships of the Imperial Fleet, were interned in Scapa Flow. When it became apparent that the fleet would be divided among the victorious Allied powers under the Treaty of Versailles, the ships were scuttled by their German crews on June 21, 1919. I'll discuss the details in a future episode, probably once I have finished with all the battleships from the Imperial era. Chronologically, that would fit well. The wrecks of the Kaiser ships were gradually raised and scrapped in the following years. This happened with SMS Kaiser in 1929 and with SMS Prinzregent Luitpold in 1931. This was followed by SMS König Albert in 1935, SMS Kaiserin in 1936 and SMS Friedrich der Große in 1937. The ship's bell of SMS Friedrich der Große was returned to Germany in 1965 and is located at the naval headquarters in Glücksburg.
A few finishing words.
The Kaiser-class battleships represented a major technological leap forward. For the first time, the German Navy used turbines as a propulsion system on its battleships, and they took the first step away from the distributed gun turret layout and toward a centerline layout. The Kaiser-class battleships proved their worth in both the Battle of Jutland and the lesser-known Operation Albion in the Baltic Sea. How one evaluates their end in Scapa Flow is up to each individual.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.